And no, we won't be getting Jess to pick the quickie. And the reason is it would be hip-hop or rap or Britney Spears. And I'm just not going to wear that. I can't wear that. Ellen, hello.
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 Oh, never mind.
It's true.
Poor girl.
No, it's
You've
true.
Let it down.
This is Triple M. It's not upstairs. And there's no way in the world Britney Spears is going to ever be the quickie. Not while I draw breath.
Oh, dear. Anyhow, I'm meaning to say that I experienced the tremor yesterday.
Did you? Whereabouts are you?
I live up in Beaconsfield, which is southeast of Melbourne.
Well, you would have got it all right because they felt it in Sydney and they felt it in Hobart.
It was just, I live in a granny flat and it's on a quite a big property and I'm on a hill as well.
Yeah.
And it just, It was like a giant stood at either end of the building, and I suppose it'd be about 10 square place, and it just shook.
Yeah,
it was as if somebody got hold of it and just gave it a great shake. And I thought, oh, what do I do? I'm disabled in my back, so I'm very, very slow moving. And, I mean, they say get under furniture, but how does an 80-odd year, and I'm more closer to 90 than I am to 80, but how does a person of that age get down under a table?
I don't know.
Possibility.
Do you live on your own?
Yes, I do live on my own.
Yeah, well, you see, there you are.
Well, and a friend rang and then came with a coffee. And
oh, that's good.
But she said she stood in the doorway, and I said, "Well, I couldn't even stand in the doorway."
No, what do you do when what do you do when you can't move? If you are elderly, you just pray, don't you?
Oh, I tell you what, it just upset me.
Well, it's all over now. They say we may be getting aftershocks for quite some time, so you know, don't be too upset about it.
Oh no,
you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I stepped off.
It's amazing. We had a lot of calls this morning from people remembering the 1989 Newcastle earthquake. And I was staying at my parents' place on that day and I was having a morning sleep because I'd driven through the night and it woke me up. And I was in Sydney and that earthquake was in Newcastle. That was 5.6. So there you are.
Yeah, I've never lived through anything that's quite as...
No, it can be very upsetting. But look, Ellen, thank you for ringing me and giving me a report. And you take care of yourself, okay? And remember, you turn the radio on and you're not alone, okay?
Yeah, no, I know that. But can I mention about the shrine guys as well?
The what, mate?
The guys that marched on the shrine.
Oh, the protesters, yes.
I see it from another point of view.
What's
I
your point of view?
From they see that their freedom is being... abused, where they have to have mandatory injection. And I think that their reason for walking out to the shrine is to say, these blokes died so that we could have freedom.
Yeah, but they also died for democracy and keeping law and order. Did those blokes die for innocent people's cars to be vandalised? For journalists to have urine thrown on them and be assaulted?
I agree with that.
Yeah. Good on you, Ellen.
They were well behaved.
Yeah, no, Ellen, I hear what you're saying, though. Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Ellen. You take care. 133353. Yeah, it was a 5.8 magnitude earthquake that rocked Melbourne. Some buildings were partly demolished. The epicentre of the quake was 10 kilometres deep near Mansfield. About 9:15 tomorrow. I'm looking at pictures this morning of a building that's partly collapsed in Windsor in Melbourne's inner city. The tremor was the largest to affect a major Australian city since the quake near Perth in 1968. That would be a Perthquake, wouldn't it? Officials are saying that there have been 6 aftershocks so far and more after tremors are expected. Victoria Emergency Chief has warned of significant aftershocks, which could be expected. So there you go. It was a magnitude 5.8. The one that devastated Newcastle that resulted in 13 deaths and 160 injuries, that was 5.6. So there you go. 133353 is the telephone number. G'day, Bill. Bill. I'll try one more time, then I've got to go.
Yo.
Yeah, Bill, what do you want to say?
Yeah, mate, I'd like to voice my opinion on what's going on in Melbourne, mate.
Please do. Are you a member of the CFMEU?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I just wanted to ask, what did you want to say?
Well, we have a thing called the Magna Carta Law. And what's going on down there is absolutely atrocious and goes against everything that our democracy stood for. I also believe that these guys did go to there to show that these guys had sacrificed all. And I honestly believe that the way this whole ordeal has been handled on this vaccine has been absolutely atrocious. And with our Prime Minister having absolutely no backbone whatsoever, I thought he was supposed to be the head of the country, and he's sitting here on every situation with his hands tied. Even with Anastasia Palaszczuk not letting our own soldiers back into their own state to be with their family.
Yeah, that was disgraceful. I understand the debate about mandatory vaccinations, and I'm happy to have that debate. I think it's drawing a very long bow to say to somebody, if you refuse to have a vaccination, you've lost your job. I get all that. But do you think they went? Do you think the protesters won themselves any fans by the way they behaved? Do you think they drew attention to the topic of the debate, or do you think their behaviour is what's going to be recorded?
One bad egg, sir.
There was plenty of bad eggs.
I understand that.
I'll say it again. I understand the debate. I totally do. It's when it's worth a debate. But do you think they detracted from that debate by their behaviour?
Yes.
That's all I'm saying too. That's all I'm saying too, Bill. But I hear what you're saying, buddy. Okay?
Mate, at the end of the day, I have family and friends that have served. And no one wanted to come home, and I never thought in my wildest dreams we would have conflict in our own country.
Well, we have. It's not the only conflict we've had. But as I say, I don't think there was enough discussion over the issue. It was all about the bad behaviour. But, Bill, I hear what you're saying, buddy. I've got to keep moving. Thank you very much for calling
up. Have a good day, bud.
I really appreciate you ringing, Bill, okay?
Okay, mate, thanks. Have a good day, bud.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Around Australia on the Triple M Network. This is The Night Shift with Luke Burner. The Night Shift.
Yeah, so as we are getting closer to holiday time, Christmas holiday time, just where do we stand as far as being able to see our loved ones is concerned? What borders will be open? What will we and what won't we be able to do? Dr. Chris Moy once again joins us, Vice President of the AMA. I guess your guess is as good as anybody's, Dr. Chris. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
So you've got Queensland now saying they're going to wait for 90% vaccination rate. You've got WA saying, oh, we might wait till April. Where will we be on Christmas Day? What do you reckon?
Look, I think that there will be a chance that we will have cross-border travel, but possibly with something like home quarantine involved at that stage. Now, just to explain, I mean, a lot of this is based on the national plan at the moment. And you know, you heard about measures like, you know, we're going to sort of start to relax things at 70% fully vaxxed and 80% fully vaxxed. And that's going to mean a reduction in sort of restrictions, but also potential for cross-border travel. The AMA's position is, look, that's great to have these guides, but there's a couple of things. The first is that there's a differences between the various states in terms of the vaccination levels, and even within the states there's big variation. And also, you know, for a state where which hasn't got any COVID, to suddenly open up to another state that has lots of COVID, that's going to be a much more difficult decision, especially if they haven't got vaccinated enough. So there's a lot of issues. And the final thing is the AMA's position is we have to be looking at how the hospitals are going. That's the critical thing. Yep. If the hospitals are not in a position to be able to cope with this, we really shouldn't be looking at such a dramatic thing. We should be just feeling our way through and to do it carefully.
The most common question I get from listeners, Dr. Christopher Moy, is this. If you can still contract COVID with a vaccination, and if you can still carry it and spread it, what does it matter then if non-vaccinated people are mixing with vaccinated people? I'm talking about, we're talking about the building industry in Victoria. We saw the riots over the last couple of days, allegedly, I say this loosely, allegedly over mandatory vaccination, but the hospitality industry saying that only vaccinated people will be allowed in premises. If you're vaccinated, aren't you bulletproof?
So look, if you're vaccinated, the first thing is your odds of serious disease and dying and is really much less than obviously going into hospital. That's the key thing about getting vaccinated. But even though, you know, that you can still catch the virus, you can get mild illness, say, from Delta particularly, there is, although not quite quantified, a reduction in your transmission level. So that you're less likely to pass it on, even though you could still do it. Now, the thing is that goes in with everything else in terms of helping to protect the people around you. And that includes people that can't get vaccinated for whatever reasons, people that the vaccination hasn't worked as well as, and all those that are vulnerable. So there is still a point to the vaccination in terms of protection of other people. So if you're not vaccinated, you are going to be more of a problem in terms of passing it on.
So you believe in vaccinated v non-vaccinated segregation?
Well, I think that's a serious argument in terms, and this is the issue about mandating a vaccination, which has become a very, very heated debate.
Look at Melbourne.
Yes, we see that. But, I mean, I think it's particularly important in certain sectors, such as healthcare and aged care, for example, where I think it doesn't pass the pub test if all the people working in the healthcare service aren't vaccinated, because obviously in those areas you've got very, very vulnerable people. And I think that there's a definite argument there. Where it extends beyond that is a harder argument. And really, I think that's the community debate that we're having to go through at the moment.
So as far as the AMA is concerned, what's the science say? If you are fully vaccinated, the chance of you contracting COVID and contracting it to the extent where you need to take up a hospital bed and a respirator are much lowered, correct?
Essentially, you're down at least 90%.
90%.
At least 90% that you're going to end up getting so serious that you're going to end up in hospital or that you're going to die. And you can see that in the numbers of all the people that are in New South Wales and Victoria ending up in hospital. It is just so dramatic, you know, the graphs, that, you know, it's just clear that if you're not vaccinated, you're much less likely to, you know, be able to survive and get into an attack by COVID and that you are much more likely to end up in hospital. So that's the first thing. So, you know, being frank, not dying, not ending up in hospital is a pretty good thing already. But also that it can reduce your potential to transmit, although it's not 100%. Even though it can help reduce it, you are helping to protect other people as well.
Okay, 90% less chance of going to hospital. Transmitting it, what percentage there?
Well, that's been a more tricky thing. Now, previously with COVID, we knew sort of figures were that even one shot reduced your risk by about 50% of transmitting it. So you'd transmit to half the people that you might have, for example. But the issue with Delta is it does look more infectious, so that effect may be less. Now, we don't have the hard figures, but there is definitely some benefit in terms of reducing your transmission to other people.
All right. And one final question. Does the AMA stand by mandatory vaccinations and mandatory vaccination segregation?
So the AMA's position is only with respect to healthcare and the entire all individuals working within a health service, and that we fully support the mandatory vaccination of all healthcare workers and all those working within a health service.
But we've seen so many transmissions in the building industry. What are your thoughts there?
Well, the problem in the building industry is obviously that it shows that if people aren't getting vaccinated, it does actually worsen the situation. And the thing is that as a whole, if we vaccinate the entire population, we are going to help slow down the transmission. And what's become really obvious, you can see the Doherty Institute, that if we vaccinate that 20 to 40-year-old group, it does overall. And the thing is, you can look at it on an individual level, but you have to look at it overall. Because of this reduction in transmission effect of the vaccines, we can really slow it down. So every person that gets vaccinated is contributing to that bulk of people that will reduce that transmission through community, particularly in that group between 20 and 40. And a lot of those are in that construction industry.
Yeah, all right. Look, I thank you for your time again, Chris. Have a good day. Talk soon.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye. Dr. Christopher Moy, Vice President of the AMA.